sometimes the solution is so simple, it's ridiculous. Welcome to Sobriety Snippets for Ambitious Women 40 Plus, helping you drop the wine and pick up conscious, happy living. I'm Becca Jacobson, and we are in Snippet Land. I have a snippet for you, and I want to just let you know, today, I'm just in a sort of a ridiculous mood. And it got me thinking about the ridiculousness of running away from our emotions. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that's what we do. I spent a lifetime doing it, even after I stopped drinking, even into sobriety. Look, what are we going to do? Freak out? Throw things? Scream? Yell? Well, I hope not. But yet, we're feeling these emotions. We're not supposed to drink them away. What the hell are we supposed to do with them? A huge question, huge issue, a problem that guided my life for so many years. Because there's the emotion, and I don't know what to do with it. And then suddenly, you know, the pressure builds. The next thing you know, you're crying into your pillow, wondering what the hell is wrong with me. Emotions, what are we supposed to do with them? Well, when I discovered, learned, practiced, and was taught what to do with my emotions, the solution's so simple, I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Like, this is bizarre, like completely bizarre that the solution's so simple. And what is the solution? Sit down and feel them. I mean, that is hilarious. All those years, decades, I'm like, oh my God, I got to get away from this. And it turns out it was like somebody tapping on my shoulder the whole time saying, excuse me, could you just feel me for a second? I'm just over here because something happened and it's buried in your subconscious. I know you don't know about it, but there's this fear that's arising or whatever the emotion might be. And I need you to feel it because it's pushing out through your subconscious. Come on, feel me. And my whole goal in life was just no way. I ain't going there. And then when you turn around, it's like the old monster under the bed. You turn around and face it. And it takes all of a minute or two to allow that emotion to run through the body. And then it just goes, thank you, gotta go now, and just goes away. Like, okay, am I oversimplifying? Maybe a little, but not much, gals, not much. So my question today is, have you ever tried emotional releasing? I don't recommend you just sit down by yourself and start trying to practice this. But when you are shown how to do it, especially a guided releasing practice, you're astonished. You really are astonished at how simple it is to just bravely sit and breathe through those emotions. This is what I teach my clients, and they're all practicing it. It's amazing. I'm like, how are you gals doing? They're all like, well, great, as long as I'm breathing through my emotions. The emotions don't want to haunt you. They're not there to come up over and over and over and dog you all of your life, except when you try and either drink them away or push them down or in any way avoid them, eat them away, run away, whatever it is, Netflix them away, social media them away, whatever we try to do with them, that will keep them coming back. But the minute we sit down and courageously say, let me feel this emotion, it's there, it wants to be felt, then we're working with it. Then we're cooperating with it. And it will dissipate and eventually disappear. It could take several sessions. I don't know. It could take weeks. It could take months. It depends. And the best thing to do is do this in a guided setting. But just knowing that, if somebody would have said that to me, I did not know. I literally didn't know. So if you didn't know that, I hope you've fallen off your chair. Get back up. Get back on your chair and let's talk this over some more. Here's the thing, right? Something happens to us in our lives. We're 4 years old and somebody yells at us and then life goes on. But that moment in time frightened us or caused in some way a negative, fearful emotion to be locked into our energetic body and we carry it along. Here's the even more amazing thing about this, gals. You don't need to know where it came from. It isn't like you got to sit there and do talk therapy for 10 years to find out, I keep having this feeling of anxiety. What's causing it? Let's trace it back to childhood. It's not necessary. All you got to do is feel it. I'm not kidding. that's another thing I thought. I thought, well, I'm going to have to really find out, dig down, figure out what's causing this and heal the old wound, relive the past experience, maybe do some forgiveness, some reframing, get to the heart of the whole matter. You don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to know where it came from. If you do know, often we do know. We just know. We remember. We're like, I know exactly where this is coming from. That's great. That's fine. But if you're not sure, but you have an emotion, it keeps coming back, and you're really not sure, I wonder what's triggering this. Forget about that question. Let that question go. What's triggering it is not necessary to healing it. Let me say that again. It's not necessary to know what's triggering it in order to heal it. Like, okay, get back up off the floor and back onto your chair again. I mean, like, seriously. Wait a minute. What? Are you trying to tell me, Becca, that I can just... Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Now, here's the catch. There's always a catch, right? First of all, we have to have the courage to do this because these are difficult emotions. It doesn't feel pleasant. And we really should, honestly, we really should be guided through this. Because negative emotions can trigger anxiety, and especially if we're getting into traumatic events, to sit there alone and allow yourself to spiral into an anxiety attack or something similar can be very dangerous. I mean, it ain't going to kill you. It ain't. It just, it's not going to happen, right? But it can be very, very unpleasant. And that's why we're too afraid to do it. But with the right guidance and some courage, just imagine how quickly you can heal wounds that you've just been running from all these years. I mean, really, that's what I'm getting at here. The fact that we run and avoid and numb, and the whole thing, it's like the joke's on you, babe. What a freaking joke. I just can't even believe it, because that's all it was about for me, was just trying to run away and cope. Anyway, something, please give me something to cope, because I don't want, don't get me wrong, I wasn't walking around saying these things out loud. I wasn't writing them in my journal. But in retrospect, I can see that's what I was doing, trying to avoid, cope, numb, anything but feel. And it turns out that feeling, it's not that bad. I mean, whatever. And then before you know it, it starts to fade. And then you think you've solved that and it's gone. And then lo and behold, all of a sudden it comes back and you go, oh, that's interesting. I thought that was gone. And then it comes back. This is what my journey's been like. I'm just sharing what it's been like for me. I started emotional releasing about probably coming up on 2 years ago. There was one particular event or feeling or whatever you want to call it. Emotional wound, that's what we'll call it, that I thought I had healed. I thought it was gone. And months went by and it was fine. And then all of a sudden it started creeping back. This is why we want to be guided. I have a coach, right? I don't coach myself. That'd be like trying to give myself brain surgery. I mean, come on, I'm not that ridiculous. And so I had to do some more releasing. But it's worthwhile work, don't you think? It's not as simple as the last 9 minutes have explained, but it's there. The principle's there. The idea is there. The possibility is there. And that's what this snippet's about, to say to you, my girl, guess what? There's a possibility, and it's so much simpler than you thought, to heal the emotional wounds that you're packing around, and they weigh a ton. They weigh a ton. They weigh us down. They age us before our time. And they confuse us because we think, oh, well, I don't know how to handle this. What's the answer? Do I have to talk about it? For where does it come? Blah, blah. And it's just so freaking confusing that we just turn to a drink. It was just so much easier to have a drink. It's like, give me a break. I don't even know how to begin. So I'm just going to have a drink. That was me. I mean, that's what I did all those years. And here's another truth. Not one counselor I ever spoke to knew this. Not one of them ever said anything like what I've said in the last 10 minutes or so. I believe they just didn't know. I mean, if I'd start crying, they'd say, oh, go ahead and cry. Crying's good. But it wasn't the same. It wasn't them saying, let's intentionally allow this emotion to be felt. I'm here. I got you, Becca. You're okay. Let's see what it feels like. I promise you, you're safe. You know, you're somebody like that speaking us through it. And then we feel safe and we begin to allow it. And all we're doing, gals, is a releasing emotional wounds, which is what? It's condensed energy, frozen energy in our energetic bodies. Wounds. So letting go, and we've talked about this. We've talked about it so much. We did a book study, oh, I don't know, 6-8 months ago. We did a book study on a book called Letting Go, The Pathway of Surrender, written by David R. Hawkins. That's what that whole book is about, right? And I want to bring this back to you. If you haven't learned how to let go, if you haven't tried releasing your emotions, it's a key to sober, happy sober living, free sober living. In fact, I've come to a conclusion in fairly recent months that the true pathway to sobriety is a two-pronged approach. And I'm not going to get into that today because it would just take us off in another direction. But that is a snippet coming up next week. I'm going to talk to you about it next Wednesday. I don't know the date. I don't feel like opening my calendar. It doesn't matter. But Monday, we're doing our second installment of James Allen's book, As a Man Thinketh. And so on Wednesday, I'm going to talk to you about my personal two-pronged approach to sobriety. And if you're a client, you're probably going, really? I didn't know she had it. I thought her approach was one-pronged, and that is change your perspective. And it is, but there's more to it that I've recently come to notice, and it's being built into the way I help women. But anyway, that was a sidebar. Gals, it really is kind of hilarious. It's like you ever hear someone say, God's just a big comedian. He's, you know, laughing like, look how seriously they take life. And meanwhile, I wasn't serious. You know, we just take this whole thing so seriously. And then you hear someone say, well, life's a game, or, right? We can get to the point where we can start looking at life that way and take it a lot lighter and look at life as a game, you know, the game of life and how to play it, as another book we studied, right? But it feels pretty damn serious when you're suffering. It feels pretty damn serious when the people we love are suffering, when people die, when they get sick. That's serious shit, right? So to just go, oh, well, release that emotion and carry on is pretty cynical. It's pretty, well, unsympathetic, isn't it? So I'm not saying that by any means. Our feelings are very real, and the things that happen to us are real. But we can learn a new perspective, and we can learn how to allow those emotions. We can learn to suffer less, and we can learn how to do all of it without alcohol. That's the message. I hope this was helpful today, gals. Today's a Friday. Before I go, two things. I want to remind you, I've already mentioned it, that we are in the middle, well, near the beginning, of studying James Allen's book, As a Man Thinketh. And this week's homework, to remind you before we go into the weekend, is to write down one element of your life, something that's happening in your life that you can trace back to a thought pattern you have. Now, let me give you an example of that in case you're struggling to get that homework done. For me, I could trace my drinking and the fact that I couldn't stop drinking and the fact that I kept drinking to the thought pattern, I am an alcoholic. I struggle with alcohol. I don't know how to quit drinking. I fail when I quit drinking. That sort of thought pattern, those types of thoughts were constant companions for me. And the results of those thoughts were drinking. So I'm asking you for your homework in the James Allen book is, what's one thing you can trace to a thought pattern you're carrying around? Might be very similar to mine. And we'll talk more about that on Monday when we go back to the book and look at thoughts and circumstances. Powerful, powerful stuff. Gals, there's a lot to think about. Take it with you into the weekend. You can come on back tomorrow for the Sanctuary Saturday. We're going to talk about the first year of sobriety, which is really relevant to all of us, because I know you're not going to be hanging around in drinking land for much longer. I mean, nobody wants to do that. So come back tomorrow and hear what it's like in that first year, because it'll be very helpful for you to know that it's not nearly as difficult as you think. And one more thing. I know I keep saying I'm going to go, but there is one more thing. The Sacred Mirror, which I've been running since the beginning of July, is an amazing experience. But guess what, gals? I'm going to have to start limiting your access to the Sacred Mirror. Why? Because you love it and I love it and it's time consuming for me. So I'm only willing to do one sacred mirror a day, and that means I can get behind. So that means women will submit their reflection, and it can take me 2 or 3 days to get back to them. So I'm going to catch up. I'm going to take a few days off of allowing new submissions to catch up on the reflections. So in the meantime, if you want some support today, they'll come a little deeper into Snippet Land, go to the show notes. There's a link there to a brand new guide that I've created. And it's a journaling guide. If you struggle with journaling, I put in there prompts. I talked about why journaling is helpful and how to get started and how to keep going with journaling. So if you'd like that guide, just go ahead and tap the link in the show notes. But for today, anyway, the sacred mirror is closed, but I promise I'll be opening it again soon. There you go, gals. That was a lot to think about. I'll see you tomorrow for Sanctuary Saturday. Thanks for popping in. Be sure to come back next time so I can keep your head on straight. Sending you buckets of love.